And this morning I come and I come full. I come fed. I come fresh. I come filled, revived. Went in Monday, going to preach a week revival. 5 days, revival, 5 days. Went in on Monday thinking, man, they need this revival. Left on Friday realizing I'm the one needed revived. Come to church 3 times a week and do the ministry every day of the week. And I was the one that needed revived. You know what, most time when I look around, I say, that person might need revived. It's usually me that needs the reviving. And this morning, I just want to preach a simple text, Mark chapter number 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The title of the message this morning is, They Came to Jesus. They came to Jesus. Mark chapter number 2, and beginning in verse number 1. If you found your place, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter number 2 in verse number 1. The Bible says, And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, that being Jesus. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed, wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. For there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that there so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the sick of the palsy, read this with me. Father, I ask you this morning to move in this service in a mighty way. Lord, we've read scripture together. Father God, we've already prayed. We've already come and sang praises unto your name. Father God, we've already came and seen your face high and lifted up. And Lord, I pray this morning, whoever you may be talking to this morning, Father, I pray this morning that they get to Jesus. Lord God, I pray this morning that they've been to Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that they just move the way you'd have them to move. I pray they move to an old-timey altar. Lord, I pray this morning you guard my throat, my thoughts. Lord, I pray this morning, Father, that a great move of the Holy Ghost would break through in this place. Lord, I thank you for the crowd this morning, but I thank you most of all for the Christ that's in the house this morning. I thank you for the cross of Calvary. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that if there may be a division in the church, it can be fixed at the cross. Lord, I thank you this morning. If there's somebody that needs to be delivered this morning, they'll be delivered at the cross. If they're in despair this morning, they'll be out of the despair at the cross this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that you watch over this congregation. Lord, I pray you do the leading as you see fit. And I pray when the time of invitation comes, if somebody needs to do business with you, I pray they have enough faith about them. Lord God, I pray they have enough faith to step out from their pew and get to a place that they meet you this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask it this morning in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. They came to Jesus. I thank God this morning that if we see that in the Bible this morning, the Word of God says in verse number 2 and verse number 3, and they came unto him. This morning I want you to know that when they came to Jesus, they came bringing one sick of the palsy. 4 of his friends came and was bringing him to Jesus. This morning, why did they come to Jesus is what I want to ask. Why did they come to Jesus? This morning, why do we come to Jesus? Why do we come to this house this morning to see Jesus high and lifted up. This morning, why do you need to come to Jesus? This morning, I understand, number one, this morning, had they realized the Savior was in the house. Look with me in verse number 2, if you will. And the Bible says, and straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And it says, and they came to Jesus. They knew that Jesus was in the house, and they knew that he was there. I got good news this morning that when they knew Jesus was in the house, they knew that the healer was near. They knew the one that would bring the healing to their life, hey, was near unto them. Hey, they come to Capernaum here, and they knew that Jesus was there. I got good news this morning. Hey, Jesus is in the house this morning at Union Chapel Baptist Church. I thank God this morning that he's here. I thank God this morning we don't have to call him up. We don't have to muster him up. We don't have to look him up. Hey, he showed up this morning. Can I get an amen? Hey, the Bible says they realized the Savior was in the house. This morning, if you got a problem in your life or you got something going on, hey, Jesus is here this morning. Hey, the healer, he is in the house. The helper was in the house. He said when they came there, they came bringing one sick of the palsy, and they realized that Jesus was there. And Brother Brent, if they could just get him to Jesus, if they could just get him to that place. You may have loved ones this morning and you've been inviting them to church. I got good news this morning. Quit inviting them to church and start inviting them to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hey, they can go to this church or any church down the road and they may not find Jesus. But I want you to know when you invite them to Jesus and you invite them to come to Jesus, I want you to know this morning they can find Jesus. Amen? He says this morning they realized the Savior in verse number 3 was in the place. They realized that the healer was near. They realized the helper was near. But they realized the Holy One was near unto them. Look in verse number 3, and it says, and they come unto Jesus, bringing something to where Jesus was at. And you know what they was bringing? They was bringing a sick man to Jesus. They was bringing a man that had laid out there, and they couldn't get to him because of the press. So many people around. So many people had gathered around. This morning in the prayer room, Brother Riley Cagle said, Lord God, I pray nobody has to climb over me to get to Jesus. I thank God this morning that we can do business with Jesus in this house this morning. They realized the Savior was there. They brought the one that was sick of the palsy, and he was born of four. He couldn't get to Jesus, but they could. So they brought him to Jesus. This morning, you may have a loved one, and you want them to come to Jesus, and they may not know how to get to Jesus, and you may have to grab a hold of them and help them along this life. You get up beside them and help them find Jesus. Amen? Hey, this morning, I want you to know they came to Jesus. They realized the Savior was there, but you look in verse number 4. It's one thing to realize the Savior was there, but they run into a problem, and they had to rethink the situation. Friends, this morning, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, there's times in my life when I'm trying to get to where Jesus is. There are things that pop up. There are things that come up. There are things that hinders. There are things that get in the way. And there's some times in our life we got to rethink the situation, and we got to know what to do. He says here in verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him. Hey, they was coming to Jesus. They realized the Savior was there. But glory to God, they got to a place they had to rethink the situation. Hey, you've been to church all your life and you're still in a mess. You're still in the mire. You're still in the clay. You're still sinking. You're still going under and you don't know how to get out. Hey, you might need to rethink the situation that you're in. Hey, have you brought it to Jesus? Have you brought it to where Jesus is? He says here in verse number 4, and when they cannot come nigh unto him for the press, they uncover. Friends, I want you to know, glory to God, hallelujah, when you come to Jesus, everything's uncovered. Amen. There's nothing left covered when you come to Jesus. There's nothing left covered when you come to Jesus. Can I say to you, when you don't come to Jesus, there's nothing uncovered. Oh, he knows it all. He's a know-it-all. He knows it all, and he knows everything in our life. And you know what? He calls us unto repentance. Hey, the Bible says in Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. You know what repentance is? It ain't for God, it's for you and I. It's that we may have that relationship, that we may have that wall, that we get to that place and we say, Lord God, we need you to help. They realized the Savior was in the house, but they had to rethink the situation that they was in. This morning, if you're in a situation and it looks hopeless, and it looks like you need help this morning, you can come to Jesus this morning. You can get right to where he's at. You know what, though? When they got there, they seen something. There was people gathered everywhere, and they couldn't get to where their master was. This week, we was in revival service, and if the group from Union Chapel wouldn't have showed up, I'd have been preaching to 8 people every day of the week. There was about 8 people in that church. Hey, they didn't have big stained glass windows. They didn't have big chandeliers. They didn't have the screens that are behind me. They didn't have a sound man up in the top. Hey, they didn't have a crowd of people. Hey, they didn't have all this going on. Hey, but I'll tell you one thing. Hey, he had the power of God in that place. I tell God every day, take everything we got, but do not take your power from this place. Amen. Take everything we got, but don't take your power from us. Oh, friends, I want you to know. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. This morning, there may be something in your life that you need God to uncover. And you've come there and you say, God. And he said, I've been showed you, but you're going to have to uncover it. You're going to have to rethink this situation. What you think you've got hid, you're going to have to uncover it and let God know about it. Look what he says. There was a roadblock. There was a crowd in the way. There was a confusion in the way. There was a chaos in the way. There was calamity in the way. You know what calamity is? I just don't care. I just don't care. The people that was there thronging around Jesus, they saw this man laying there hurting and in pain and needing help. And you know what their attitude was? They had calamity. They just didn't care. Friends, as a church, we must not get to where we just don't care, but we love the lost man and we want to see him come to know Jesus. Hey, we love the saved man and glad that he has come to know Jesus. Amen. Hey, they had to rethink the situation and look what the Bible says. He got to that place and I wrote this down. I want to give this to you. There's no room. They had no room, but they made room to get to Jesus. They had no room, but they made room to get to Jesus. I want to write this down. Whoo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's no telling. I want you to think about this. There's no telling what you'll have to climb over to get to Jesus. Where's he at, Riley Cable? Raise your hand. Son, you spoke it in the prayer room. It's on my paper. There's no telling what you'll have to climb over to get to Jesus. This morning, I want you to know where Jesus is. He don't move. He don't waver. He don't do nothing. He stands firm and he stands true in what he's called you to do. And when you get to that place and you realize the Savior's calling on your heart, knocking on your heart's door, there's so many times in my life I say, Lord God, show me that you're real. Show me that you're still knocking. Show me that you're still there. I know we walk by faith and not by sight, but I want you to know, Brother Garrett, it sure is good to feel something every once in a while. Amen. Amen. My wife's married and we're married and I love her to death. And if it was just that we was married and passed by and never talked to one another, how sad that would be. Every once in a while, I wanted to hold my hand. Can I get a witness? Every once in a while, I want a little kiss on the cheek. Every once in a while, I want to know that we still have a relationship and there's something still there. And there's times that God comes by and he gives us that sweet, small voice. He gives us that in our life and he lets us know that he's holding our hands. When these men got here, they got to where Jesus was and they realized the situation that they was in and they realized the Savior was there. But I want to give you this. Not only did they rethink, but they refused to settle where they was at. Hey, they rethought and they said, we got to get this man to Jesus and I refuse to stay where I'm at. I don't know about you, but in my Christian life, I refuse to stay where Jesus found me. I want to go higher. I want to climb higher. I want this church to go higher. I want God to do more. I want to see people saved. I want the baptistry full. You say, preacher, you got a lot of wants in your life. I got good news. It ain't a want. It's a need this morning. I need to see people be saved. You need to see people be saved. I need to see the baptistry full. You need to see the baptistry full. I need Jesus to move on me, and you need Jesus to move on you. Man, I'm telling you, when they got there, they said, I want you to know, we refuse to settle. We will not stay where we're at. And they uncovered the roof. And when they started uncovering the roof and they got it all tore off, I want you to get this. It said, then they broke down. They broke down what was on the inside. I want to give you this. When you let God remove and he uncovers things in your life, it won't be long. You'll be broke down. You'll be broke down in a good way, not in a bad way. You'll be broke down. This morning when they got there and they got to that place and they said, I refuse to settle where I'm at. I refuse to settle in that place. There's a lot of people in this room this morning would probably say, I have chose to settle right in the situation that I'm in. I have chose to settle right where I'm at right now. You know what? God's not called you to settle. God's called you to soar. He's called you to soar. He's not called you to slither like a snake. He's called you to soar like an eagle. If you've been born again, he's not giving you a dead life, but he's giving you a living life. He said, I've given you life that you may have it in the you may have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the abundant life. Amen. I told this story this week in revival, and these men, it's nothing like this. They said there was three men that was going out, and they was going to go out and go fishing. And they got out way out fishing, way out, way, way, way out. And a storm arose out in their life. And when that storm arose, these two men looked and said, I remember that man used to go to church. That man used to pray. And they said, we'll get him to pray. And they looked at that man and they said, hey, won't you call up Jesus? Won't you pray? We got a storm going on. We got problems going on. And we don't want to settle. We don't want to stay where we're at. We want to be saved. And said that man said, well, I ain't done it in a while, but I'll pray. He said he bowed his head. And when he bowed his head and he got to praying, he said, Lord God, it's me again. I know it's been 15 years since I prayed to you. Hey, but if you'll get us safe and get us home and get us out of this storm and get us on the dry land, I promise you I won't bother you for 15 more years. Friends, I want you to know, if it's been 15 years, that's not a relationship that you've got with God. That's a religion. And this morning I want you to know, religion will fail, religion will falter, and it'll let up in your life. But when you have a relationship in Christ Jesus, you'll get to where Jesus is. Amen. You get to that place. He said they refused to settle. They would not stay where they was at. This morning I ask you a question. Are you refusing to settle where you're at? I want to show you this in the text this morning. He said that he refused to settle. Look with me in verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed. You see, when it gets uncovered in your life, what's going on? Whoo, can I get a witness? When it gets uncovered in your life, you know how it is to cover up. Well, that's rough, ain't it? Everybody you come in contact with, you think they know what you're covering up. They ain't got a clue what you're covering up, but the Holy Ghost is what's on the inside. When you uncover, and look what he says in the text, when they uncovered and had broken it up. When God uncovers stuff in your life, he's going to break it up. And if you're a child of God tonight, you ought to be uncomfortable this morning. You ought to be uncomfortable covering things up. And you ought to want it broke up in your life. And you ought to want shooken up. You ought to want broken up. That's what I ought to want in my life, broken up. I ought to want shaken up. I ought not want to stay complacent and calloused and have calamity in my life. But he says when he broke it up, then they was able to get to Jesus. This morning, this church is going to have to get to a place where we don't cover up, but we let the Holy Ghost break us up. We let the Holy Spirit break us up. They came to Jesus because they no longer covered up. They come to Jesus because they no longer covered up, and they let the Spirit of God break them up. And at that moment, they was able to let that man down to Jesus. I see they realized the Savior. They rethink the situation. They refused to settle. And I wrote this down. Somebody this morning, right now in your life, you need to make up in your mind right now, I choose right now not to settle. I choose not to settle with this world, but I choose to settle with what Christ has called me to do in my life. I choose to do what God has called me to do. And that's how you get to Jesus. You see, well, the Spirit's got to draw. Can I say to you, the Spirit's drawing. Not only did they get to that place where they refused to settle, but they received salvation. Their friend received salvation. Look with me. And when Jesus, verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the one sick of the palsy, son, thy sins have been forgiven thee. Who is talking about sin? See, I told you he knows all. Who's talking about sin? We're bringing you because he's sick of the palsy. We're bringing you because he's got a sickness, an illness. There's nobody mentioned sin. Now Jesus comes in and he starts talking. First thing he says is, son, thy sin has been forgiven. Before he can ever walk, the sin's got to be forgiven. Before he can ever crawl, before he can ever do, he's still on his bed. He is still lame at his feet. He still has palsy. And you can, oh, glory, hallelujah, you can be alive and well. And if your sin has not been forgiven, you are still, and I am too, lame. You see, he said, son, now sin been forgiven. You can walk around, you can do all you want to do, but until your sin's been forgiven, you are still lame. Look what he says here. He says, son, thy sin be forgiven thee. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what it takes for your sin to be forgiven? Faith. Faith. It takes faith. Well, it takes the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, it does, but you got to have faith first. You said, do we all have faith? Yes, we do. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans. I'm fixing to show you this. I know this morning you think I'm crazy. I told him in revival, and I believe this, you think I'm crazy now. You should have seen me before I met Jesus. Man, headed to hell. Romans 12:3, look at this. You say it takes faith. How much faith does it take? It don't take much. But this morning, if you refuse to stay in the situation you're in, it's going to take faith for you to get up from that place that you're sitting in and walk to this altar. That's why our altars are empty. That's why they're slap empty. Sunday in, Sunday out, Sunday night in, Sunday night out, Wednesday night in, Wednesday night out. Because it takes faith to get up and get to where Jesus is. These old boys, they didn't say, we think Jesus might can heal him. They didn't say, we think Jesus might take care of him. You know what they did? They said, we're getting him to Jesus. I thank God that I had people in my life, even when I didn't want to listen, they took me to Jesus. I'll never forget Jonathan and Renee Mixon. Can I get a witness? Lay up there in that old single-wide trailer. You could look through the walls, sit on the toilet, use the bathroom, and you could tell whoever walked by. Washed your baby bottles in the same bathtub that you took a bath in. Come on, let's just preach a little bit. I know what it is to be there. I know what it is to be in that place. I know what it is to have nothing on the floor but this press wood. And when you walked across it, you had to put shoes on or you get splinters in your feet. I know what it is to set the bucket under and let the water rain down. I know what it is, but too much pride to get to where Jesus is. And then somebody would knock on your door and they say, hey, we're not here to judge you. We're just here to love you. Won't you come to church with us? Amen. I looked at my wife and I said, we can't go down there. We can't go down there to that church. We ain't got the clothes. We ain't got the outfits. We can't go down there. But thank God somebody took me to Jesus. You said, did they leave on that trip? My Lord, no. They're like a chigger. They stayed around. Next week, if it wasn't Jonathan, it was Renee knocking on the door. You know what I told her? I said, we might as well get up and get ready. Why? Because they coming back today. Let me just stop. Hey, have you ever been there? We might as well get up and get ready because they ain't going to quit. They're not going to quit. They're persistent. They don't want me to stay in the situation that I'm in. They don't want me to satisfy and just sit here. They don't want me to just sit here. They want me to go. I told her, I said, we might as well just get up and go buy some clothes and go. Didn't have the money, but we went and bought it. And all we bought was a pair of khakis and a little old polo shirt. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And when we went in that Sunday, we went in like we had it all together, knowing I was dying, going straight to a devil's hell. But I went in there with them church folks, elbow to elbow, grinning from ear to ear. How y'all doing? Doing good. You doing good. I told her, I said, we got them off our back for a little bit. No. No. And you see, it wasn't them that kept coming to the house. I lay on the couch with my back hurting, arm hurting. And then Miracle Monday would roll around. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sick on Sunday, couldn't hold my head up, about to die. Oh, Lord. At work on Monday, ready to go, boy. Let's make production. I feel good. And then Sunday roll around, I'm sick again. Can't hardly get out of the bed. And then old Renee and Jonathan pull up, knock on the door. We just want to know if anything's wrong. We might as well go. Can you imagine that old boy laying on that bed sick of the palsy and them four come to get him? Can you imagine? He said, boys, I've been here all my life. There ain't no need of it. They wouldn't take no for an answer. Just as persistent as them two was in my life, let me tell you, somebody more persistent than they was. That's the Holy Ghost of heaven. You know why you walk in and you sit down and you feel uncomfortable sometimes? It ain't because of the preacher. No, 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 no. There's not a preacher alive good enough to preach you under conviction. Because if he did, it wouldn't be Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction comes from the Holy Ghost. And every time they'd knock on my door, it wasn't them knocking. You know what it was? It was the Holy Ghost of heaven knocking on my door. Saying, you know where you need to be and you know what you need to do and you need to get there. And every time he'd be faithful and he'd just take care of me, Brother David. He'd lead me on and on and on. But there come a day that I receive salvation. Just as this old boy did. Can I say to you, when I got saved, I still lived in that same old house. Had the same old bathtub we washed the bottles in. Take a bath in there and Clorox it out to wash your baby bottles in them. You said everything just didn't get better when you got saved. Oh, no. It just didn't get better. But I had a peace And I had a cleanliness about me that passed all understanding. No longer did I worry if I had anything to wear to church on Sunday. I just went on Sunday. Wear the same polo shirt back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I didn't care who knew what I had on. Did I wear that last Sunday? That paralytic man, listen to me, that man with the palsy, you know what he did? When he got healed, he didn't care who knew. All he knew is he received something from Jesus. This morning, my prayer is at this church that you receive something from Jesus. Let me show you this in closing. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, here's that faith that it takes to step out. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man. He didn't leave nobody out. He said, I've gave every man the measure of faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. He's given everyone a measure of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, you've got the faith. You just got to choose to use it. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Who? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I don't know about you, but them men in Mark chapter number 2, they diligently seek the Savior. And He rewarded them for what they sought after. Look with me in the text, and we'll be closing. Look with me in the text. And Jesus saw their faith. This morning you may be in here and you realize the Savior's in the house. You realize that, preacher, I just need a fresh touch. Sister Kim, I just need a fresh fire. I've rethought the situation that I'm in, and I'm tired of living this way. And I refuse to settle the way that I am right now. I either want to be saved, or I want to start living like I am saved. Whichever where you're at, there's only two places. You're either lost or you're saved. In verse number 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say of the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And look what Jesus did. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy. He didn't receive his salvation. And he said, now for the whole world to see. Look what he said. I say unto thee, and he's saying it to somebody this morning, you've already been saved, act like it. You've already been saved, live like it. That's pretty easy, ain't it? It's pretty easy. I went to the doctor one time, Sister Shannon. She was my doctor at that time. I don't know if she's a doctor anymore or not. I think she has to take care of Brother Brad all the time now. I went to her, told her my problems, my symptoms. She gave me some medicine. A couple of days later, I seen her at church. She said, how's it going? How's things going? And I said, it's going good. She said, are you taking your medicine, doing what you're supposed to be doing? And I said, yes, ma'am. When she walked off, I thought, you just told the biggest lie you've ever told. But you know what the Spirit told me when she walked off? I was taking it, but not correctly. I was taking a little here, a little there, doing what he's doing, a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. But I learned something. When I listened to the doctor, started doing to what she said, I started getting better. When I come to Jesus and He tells me what I need to do, if I listen, I'll get better instead of bitter. This morning, I don't know who this message is for, but they came to Jesus and they received what they needed. This morning, you may need to come to Jesus. You know, you just don't come to Jesus for salvation. You don't. You just don't come to Him for salvation. And this morning, I don't know who I'm talking to, but maybe you say, preacher, I just need to get to Jesus. You don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on in my mind. And that mind is a war zone, I'm telling you. There's things go on up there that will drive a normal man crazy. And the only way to get over that is just to get to Jesus. And this morning, if it's been a while since you've been where Jesus is, I beg you in the name of Jesus to get to where he's at. That you can say, I refuse to stay in the situation that I'm in. I've rethought this. I rethought some things. I realize he's the Savior. And I want to get to where he's at. If that's you this morning, I ask you to come to the altar and ask Jesus. I ask you to stand. Father, I love you and I thank you. I praise your holy and precious name. Lord God, I thank you for these that brought their friend to Jesus. Lord, I thank you that I have people in my life that brought me to you where you was at. Lord, they may have had no clue, Father, in their persistence. Father, they may have had no clue that they was being used by you to draw me. Lord, you was using and you used people in our lives to draw us to you. Father, you can use anything to draw us to you. You use the Holy Spirit through people and through things to draw us. And Lord, whoever this morning that's in a situation and they say, I've rethought some things and I'm just ready to get to where Jesus is. I don't want to worry. I don't want to fret. I just want to be free. Oh, Satan, Father, you know he tries to destroy our joy because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Whoever needs strength this morning, I ask you to move on them in a mighty way. Have your will and have your way in this place. And we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.